The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 7th, 2018, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vavatsu Kushala Prashna Atma Arameshu Na Yishyate Kushala Akushala Yatra Na Santi Mati Vrittaya Bhavatsu Kushala Prashna Atma Rameshu Neshyate Kushala Kushala Yatra Nasanti Matavrittaya Bhavatsu Kushala Prashna Atma Rameshu Neshyate Kushala Kushala Yatra Nasanti Mativrittaya Bhavatsu unto you, Kushala, good fortune, Prashna, question, Atma Arameshu, one who was always engaged in spiritual bliss. Na ishyate, there is no need of Kushala, good fortune. Akushala, inauspiciousness. Yatra, where? Na, never. Santi, exists. Mativrittaya, mental concoction. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prithu Maharaj continued, my dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good and bad fortune, because you are always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of the auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charita Amrita Ancha 4176, it is said, Dvaiti Bada Bhadda Jnana Sabha Mano Dharma He Bala E Manda E Sabha Brahma. In this material world, the auspicious and inauspicious are simply mental concoctions, because such things exist only due to association with the material world. This is called illusion or atma maya. We think ourselves created by material nature exactly as we think ourselves experiencing so many things in a dream. The spirit soul, however, is always transcendental. There is no question of becoming materially covered. This covering is simply something like a hallucination or a dream. In Bhagavad Gita 2.62, it is also said, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Simply by association, we create artificial material necessities. Jayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangasteshu Pajayate. When we forget our real constitutional position and wish to enjoy the material resources, our material desires manifest and we associate with varieties of material enjoyment. As soon as the concoctions of material enjoyment are there, because of our association, we create a sort of lust our eagerness to enjoy them. And when that false enjoyment does not actually make us happy, we create another illusion known as anger. And by the manifestation of anger, the illusion becomes stronger. When we illusion in this way, forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna follows, and by thus losing Krishna consciousness, our real intelligence is defeated. In this way, we become entangled in this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:63, it is said, Krodat bhavati sang moha, sang moha smati vibrama, smati bhangshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nasyat pranashyati. By material association, we lose our spiritual consciousness. Consequently, there is the question of the auspicious and inauspicious. But those who are Atmarama, or self-realized, have transcended such questions. The Atmaramas are self-realized persons, gradually making further progress in spiritual bliss, come to the platform of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of life. In the beginning, the Kumaras were self-realized impersonalists, but gradually they became attracted to the personal pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The conclusion is that for those who are always engaged in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, the duality of the auspicious and inauspicious does not arise. Prithvi Maharaj is therefore asking about auspiciousness, not for the sake of the Kumaras, but for his own sake. Very amazing purport. Super amazing in this sentence. There is no question of becoming materially covered. That's phenomenal. We're not actually covered by the material nature. We just think we are. Let's read that sentence again. There is no question of becoming materially covered. This covering is simply something like a hallucination or a dream. We're just dreaming on this body, or I'm American, Indian, male, female. These are dream states. We're not actually covered by a material body. Just dreaming on this body, that's it. So to become Krishna conscious is not difficult. We simply have to wake up. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Guru Chandra bolin. Really wake up. That's all you got to do. You're already a rich man. You're just dreaming you're a poor man. You're dreaming you're a pauper in the street. Actually, you're a multi-billionaire, but you're dreaming you're a pauper in the street. Like that. So why should we go on suffering like this? We're not actually in a suffering position. We're in a position of unlimited bliss. That's our actual position, tasting unlimited nectar at every minute. That is our actual position. But we're dreaming this other thing. Some tiger is coming to devour us, called death. You see? So we just have to wake up, really. Such a nice point Prabhupada's making here. Another point that I'm really excited about here is the idea that auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, they're actually just mental concoctions. What does Prabhupada write in the Nectar Devotion, one of the six symptoms of devotional service, is that pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. So for one who's actually in the mood of bhakti, who's in the mood of serving Krishna, serving Guru, and not serving the material senses, for that person, every minute is all auspicious. There's no such thing as inauspiciousness for such a person. any situation, every situation, he never finds himself in an inauspicious situation. Because he knows the art of utilizing everything for Krishna. No matter what happens, he says, I will use this for Krishna. The so-called good, bad, beautiful, ugly, all these dualities. For a devotee, a real devotee, they're all the same thing. Simply another opportunity to serve Krishna. That's all. It's like you may be a young, healthy brahmachari walking up two stairs at a time on the steps. And maybe an old senior citizen just barely making it, having to go on the elevator with your cane, you see. But for a transcendentalist, there's no difference. Taking a healthy brahmachari going two steps at a time, or an old person in a wheelchair, it's all the same thing. There's no difference. Because every opportunity is an opportunity to please my beloved Lord Krishna. By my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. That's all. So that's why when you actually become Krishna conscious, you are perfectly equipoised. And we can know how much we are still neophytes by how much we get disturbed by this thing and that thing. You see? Disturbance means neophyte. So instead of remaining neophyte, we should become fit in Krishna consciousness by seeing the loving hand of Krishna blessing me in all times, all places, and all circumstances. That's not a mental imagination. Do you think Krishna is cruel? He would ever do something to hurt you? No. You think he's not the supreme controller? Krishna is the supreme controller and the supreme well-wisher of every single living entity. And he's ultimately, by his arrangement, everything is being orchestrated for every living entity for all of eternity. So you just have to learn how to see the loving hand of Krishna blessing you at every minute. And then your mind will never be disturbed. So the question is, how do us neophytes who get agitated about every 10 or 15 minutes at least, how do us neophytes get off this damn neophyte platform and actually become Krishna conscious? How do we do it? What's the secret? Krishna wouldn't be so cruel that he'd force us to remain neophytes, unfit for pure devotional service. Krishna's giving us all facility to come from the neophyte platform to the liberated platform. We just have to know the art. It's like anything you do. You want to drive a car, you have to know the art, otherwise you'll have a wreck. You want to offer an art to you, you have to know the art. You want to play the kartals, everything. There's an art to everything. So there's also an art to surrendering to Krishna. We must become masters of that art of surrendering to Krishna. Well, we're lucky His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has given us volumes and volumes of books. So we can, by studying carefully what Prabhupada has written and applying what Prabhupada has written, every one of us, whether you're a brahmachari living in the temple, a householder living in a home, man, woman, child, you know, whatever your situation, street sweeper or prime minister of India, whatever your position, if you will understand what Prabhupada is saying and you'll apply it sincerely, the result will be you will master this art of Krishna consciousness. And you become qualified to see Krishna face to face. And as Prabhupada points out, very exciting thing he points out here, let's see here. Yes. The Atmaramas are self-realized persons gradually making further progress. That's interesting. You'd think the Atmaramas were already fully realized. But Atmarama can also refer, Baba says the Atmarama is a self-realized person gradually making further progress. So, wow, that's pretty interesting. You can be a self-realized person, an Atmarama, and still make further progress. That's interesting. And what do they progress to? They make progress in spiritual bliss. Wow, that sounds pretty interesting. Would you like to make progress in spiritual bliss? Yeah? What does that mean? Well, I'm a little bit blissful. I'd like to become more blissful. And I'm more blissful, I'd become much more blissful. And I'm much more blissful, become much, 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 much more blissful. You see? So you can keep making progress in spiritual bliss. How much bliss is there anyway in Krishna consciousness? Is this much or this much? How much bliss? There's unlimited bliss. Brahmasokam tvanantam. Unlimited bliss is available. I don't care how blissful you are, you can become more blissful. Even if you're unlimitedly blissful, you can even become more unlimitedly unblissful. Because spiritual bliss, Brahmasokam tvanantam, is ever increasing. So what is the result of making progress in spiritual bliss? This is the point I'm coming to. They come to the platform of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow. A perfectly self-realized person doesn't have to go back to Godhead to associate with Krishna. He can actually associate with Krishna. Krishna will appear to him right here in the material world. Prabhupada told me that. In one letter he said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Some people wonder, why does Sankarshan keep repeating that quote from Prabhupada again and again? About every five or six lectures I bring it up. That same quote, why do I keep saying it again and again? Well, it's a personal instruction from Prabhupada. When I say it, I feel a connection with Prabhupada, and it's such a powerful instruction. See? The fact is that each and every one of us, if we take this process very seriously, we can become qualified to see Krishna face to face and associate with him directly, even here, right now, in these material bodies in Pune, India. You don't have to go back to Godhead to associate with Krishna. You just have to become a pure devotee. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshe valokayanti yang shama shundaram achyanjaganasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamam vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, for the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. What is holding us back from being such pure devotees right now? What's holding us back? Each and every one of us can become such a pure devotee who can directly see Krishna. What's holding us back right now? Well, lust, anger, madness, illusion, envy, all those anarthas. Therefore, after initiation, what is the next step on the progress of spiritual perfection? Kick out those damn anarthas. That's just that. After initiation, that's what you got to do. The first thing is you have faith in the process, Shraddha. Second thing, you associate with devotees, Sadhu Sangha. Then you get initiated. You're chanting 16 rounds regularly, you're avoiding illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. Now, as we say in America, what separates the men from the boys? Or, in Krishna Gangasi, what separates the advanced devotees from the neophytes? The advanced devotees are those who are working very, very hard, begging Krishna every day, practically begging him at every minute. to please kick these anarthas out of my heart. Please, my dear Lord. Please, my dear Lord. Please, Krishna, save me from this. They're working very, very hard to kick out the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, laziness, and craziness. That's what separates the neophytes from the advanced devotees. So if we're eager to get that association of Krishna, you can't, as they're saying, you can't have God and mammon both. You can't do sense gratification at the same time get Krishna. It's like some householders, they say, well, Prabhupada said we should only have sex once in a month for procreation, but he also said no sex out of marriage, so I'll take the more lenient version. And didn't have sex, but not outside of marriage. But that's not what Prabhupada meant, you see. And you can't mix sense gratification into this process. To become qualified to see Krishna, to associate directly with Krishna, you have to give up sex desire. You can use sex producing saintly children. That, Krishna says, is me. In Gita, he says, I am that sex. That sex we can have, but to have sex beyond that means we cannot get Krishna's association. You see? If you hang on to material association, you cannot get the association of Krishna. To get Krishna's association, you have to... Prabhupada told me another letter, all material desires, zero. That's how much facility there is if you want Krishna's association. Material desires, well, can I have maybe 1% or 0.5%? Or maybe 0.001%. Material desires, no. All material desires, zero. Not 0.00001, but or 0.00000000001. But no, all material desires, 0.00000000. Ad infinitum, absolutely all material desires, zero. And then you become qualified that Krishna will appear to you personally. You will have his association. You can see Krishna. Prabhupada said you can eat with Krishna. That's pretty amazing. Sit and eat with Krishna. Share a meal with them. That's inconceivable for me, but Prabhupada said it. That's the kind of thing you can have, you see. You can actually enter into your rasa. That mood, even while you're here in the material world, that mood of your eternal relationship with Krishna can become reestablished. So I'm actually going a little over time, but I have to go a little over time. You didn't give me enough time. We won't go too far over time then. Listen, now we'll open up for questions. How to be consistent in our practice of bhakti and not getting allured by the lower petty pleasures of this mat world, abbreviation for material. A mat world. I just reminds me of a doormat. You wipe your shoe, you take the dirt of your shoes and leave it on the doormat. So the material world, take the material world as a doormat. Something you can wipe your shoes on. You know. Clean your shoes. Like that mat world. The way to be consistent is you got to beg for it. If you want to be fully absorbed in the devotional service 24/7, you got to beg for it. That's all. Krishna, please, please bless me. I can be absorbed fully in serving you, loving you, pleasing you with my every thought, word, and deed in all time, places, and circumstances for all of eternity. Can you pray that? Sure you can. Can you mean it and want it? Sure you can. So do it. Beg Krishna. And if you don't want to say it in English, there's a special prayer in Sanskrit that has the same meaning. What is that prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I like to say it in English because it helps me remember what Hare Krishna means, you see. I like to pray, personally, I like to do that. Krishna, please bless me, I can be a pure devotee. Please, my dear Lord, please dry all this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy out of my heart and make me your pure devotee. I love to, for me, it's very helpful to preach, play that way in English. It helps me understand the mood that I should be chanting Hare Krishna in, you see. So that you got to beg for it. That's the key. If you beg, Krishna reciprocates. Okay. Even after hearing so much about not able to get out of a dream state, sometimes in reality, sometimes a dream state. Well, that's good. Sometimes you're actually in reality. Some of us are in the dream all the time. But here's a devotee who is sometimes in the dream and sometimes in reality. We should learn from this devotee. They're more advanced than me, I think. They're sometimes actually in reality. I'm actually always dreaming. Wow. Always tossed up and down by the material nature, please God, what to do? It's the same thing. You beg Krishna, please save me from this. Please save me. And the key is how you associate with devotees, you see. Because Krishna says, unless you're the devotees of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So you have to learn how to cultivate good, loving relationships with devotees. If you're a brahmachari, if you're the godbrothers, if you're grihastha, with your spouse, you see, you have to learn how to cultivate a wonderful, sincere, genuine, loving relationship. That's very important. How to fix our mind on Krishna consciousness. As soon as you see it going away, drag it back. After years of practice of Krishna consciousness, also I'm not feeling the bliss. That means you're not practicing it. Sorry. If you were actually practicing Krishna consciousness, you would be swimming in an ocean of bliss. You have not been properly practicing it. You have to see, what am I doing wrong? I should be tasting great nectar at every minute. So you need to talk to somebody, your guru or a senior devotee, and talk to him about your sadhana. This is my disciple, you should write me a letter and tell me what's going on. You see? Or you can even write me if your guru doesn't answer letters. It's sda@backtohome.com. sda@backtohome.com. Stephen Hawking, a British scientist. suffered a paralysis for the last 50 years and recently died. Haribo! Sorry, but you know. But did not take shelter of God. Why so? Because he was a puffed up person. He wasn't willing to hear. He was too puffed up. You know what Stephen Hawking said? He said, everything comes out of nothing. The origin of existence is void, nothingness. And he calls this science. And people applaud him as a great scientist. It's just a ridiculous thing. Can you show me anything that comes out of nothing? Can you produce even one ant out of nothing? Or one piece of dust out of nothing? You see, our practical experience confirmed by scientific observation is that everything comes from something. So you just have to go back to the original something. That's how to find the origin of existence. But he says everything comes out of nothing. There's no proof at all. It's just speculation. So I can't imagine what kind of birth he's taken. Thank you for an amazing class. When someone with the right consciousness and prayers puts full endeavor to get some result, but the result comes as unexpected. In such a situation, a person becomes disturbed and his faith shakes. No, you are getting everything that's coming to you is a special blessing of Krishna. You were thinking something inauspicious happened to you, right? It was very inauspicious. But actually, that's just your ignorance. Krishna is blessing you with auspiciousness at every minute. We just have to learn how to see that. It's not easy. I don't claim to be on that level. But that's the level Prabhupada talks about here, you see. So you have to go beyond your opinion of what the situation actually is and try to understand it from the standpoint of this purport. And then you'll be okay. You won't be disturbed then. I'm not there. I had some heavy experiences yesterday, very heavy experiences. And I'm not there yet either, but this is what we have to do. We have to learn how to see the auspicious hand of the Lord at every minute in every situation. You've told in class we can become a pure devotee by our desire, working hard, struggling, but I don't have association of devotees. Then how did you write here in the association of devotees? That means you are getting some association of devotees. You have to capitalize on this experience of being with the devotees. And when you do that, you'll carry them in your heart. One of my godbrothers was sent all alone. He was the only ISKCON devotee on mainland Europe. One lone brahmachari. There was a few devotees in the UK. He was the only devotee in mainland Europe. He was in West Berlin, sleeping in an abandoned house. If you can imagine. See, Road Prabhupada, I'm only missing my godbrother's association. Prabhupada said, if you will simply remember my humble teachings, you will always have my association and the association of your godbrothers also. So you have to remember Prabhupada's teachings. And then you will always be packed up within your heart in the association of the devotees and of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. So that's what you have to do. Association in the mind. Riddhya, sadhu sangha, I don't know how to say it in Sanskrit, but association within the heart. we have these more? All right. No, send no more. I may not be allowed to come back if I go too long. So no more. I'll go through these quickly. When Srila Prabhupada told that Krishna dictated to me, I wrote these books. What does it mean? It means Krishna directly was telling him what to say. While chanting the holy name, how to be conscious that Krishna has personally appeared from his name. Just remember what you just wrote me? Just remember what you just wrote me. Is it okay to chant in the temple while kirtan is going on? No, chanting japa? No, it's not very nice. You should chant, there's a kirtan going on, you should chant japa somewhere else. When I sit for chanting, sometimes I don't have a begging mood. How can I cultivate it? Beg for it. Krishna, please bless me, I can be in the mood of begging. Please, Krishna. Or please bless me that I can be in the mood of begging to be in the begging, begging to be in a begging for a begging mood. You see, somehow or other, find a way to connect. Generally, I try to pray and beg to Lord Nityananda, Gauranga, and Radha Krishna but the intensity of the prayer is sometimes not so much. So how can I always remain prayerful and intense? Say, Krishna, please bless me that I can always pray with great intensity. It's very simple. Whatever you're lacking, you beg for it. We're all lacking. If we weren't lacking, we'd be seeing Krishna face to face right now. The deity, we could hear the deity, he could talk to us directly. We're still seeing a statue there. I'm not seeing a Radha Kunja Vihari talking to me directly, you see? Because we're not there yet. We lack the intensity of pure bhakti. You know a laser beam can burn through metal, right? But if you make your mind like a laser, it can burn through all the coverings of the material universe and directly enter into Golok right now, your own mind. We have to learn how to intensify our minds, our meditations, and then we can actually see Krishna's pastime happening right now in Goloka Vrindavan, you see. So we have to beg for the intensity. That's something. Can the family of obligation be a hindrance? Oh, yes. That's why Krishna says, Sarvadharman Paribhyaja. Give up all obligations. You have one obligation and one obligation only, and that is to fully surrender to me. So family obligations can be accepted if they're being engaged in a way that is favorable for Krishna consciousness. You don't have to become a sannyasi or a brahmachari. You can remain in household life, but make, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an ideal householder, you see. You make your home as good as Vaikuntha. So you can maintain your family obligations, even if your family member is not a devotee. You see. If they facilitate you and allow you to practice Krishna consciousness, they will make progress. They facilitate you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and stop here, and it was absolutely delightful to be back here. This is one of my many homes around the world. I used to live back there in that room. It's so nice to be back here in one of my homes. And we love all of you, and we're just, the kirtan was just amazing. We arrived, it just melted my heart. Your kirtan just blew me right away. It was so wonderful. Thank you for such a wonderful kirtan. And thank you all for your dedication to serve Prabhupada's mission. May you all become pure devotees, become fully qualified to see Krishna face to face as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.